Good morning. Welcome to all those joining us for Likutei Halachas, Yoredeya, Chelek Sheni, Hilchos Reishis Sagez, Halacha Gimel, and we're in middle of paragraph Yud Gimel. We're up to the sub-paragraph, V'zeh b'chinas ma'ashom rabbi senozal al pasuk lech reid, in my version. We dedicate the learning today, Le'ilu Nishmas, Bahia Bas Latifa, the mother of the Asulin clan, the Asulin family, who was the matriarch and one of the original people who initiated having Rav Rosenfeld's Shiurim given to the Sephardic Syrian community in New York, New Jersey. The Shiurim began in their home and spread to hundreds of families, Baruch Hashem. And Le'ilu Nishmas Eliyahu ben Mazal Urefoel, a close friend who passed away at a young age, a close friend and supporter of Breslov. They should be Melitzei Toy for their families and for all of Klal Yisrael. And Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Eliezer Reb Nosson Yaakov, Harini Kaporas Mishkovoi, V'zeh Bechinas Ma'ashom Rabbi Senezal, what we've been learning till now is related to what the Medrash tells us regarding the pasuk Lech Reid, when Moshe Rabbeinu was up in heaven receiving the oral Torah, and the Jewish people got involved in the Egel HaZohav, the golden calf, and Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go down. And the Medrash says, Bo'is Ashur Nisnade Moshe Mipi Bezin Shomala. At that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu was excommunicated from the heavenly court. Because of the fact that the Jewish people had committed so grave a sin, they made it impossible for Moshe Rabbeinu to be allowed to speak to them and to give over knowledge, and therefore he has to be silent. Shezehu bechinas nidui shel Moshe. This is the concept of this excommunication of Moshe Rabbeinu. When a person is excommunicated, he's not allowed to speak to anybody. Ve'Reb Eliezer HaGodol. And also the excommunication of Reb Eliezer HaGodol, which we discussed in the previous year. Kihein bebechinas shtika kanal. Because these great tzaddikim were on the level of silence, which is above the level of speech. A level of silence, meaning they achieved a level of knowledge which is so high that they cannot share it with others. Ki tomid be'eis sheyesh reshus lahamshich hadas v'makifen, azay mamshich moysam bebechina shtika kanal. Because always when rabbis have permission to share their knowledge and the makifen means the knowledge that's outside one's head, the knowledge that a person hasn't yet achieved, they do it with this shtika, with knowing when to be silent, when not. Aval kishe Yisrael chotu, but when the Jews committed so terrible a sin, tzrichin lishtoik legamri oz boisweis, that required the rabbi to be completely silent, not to share any knowledge with him at that point. V'alkein, and therefore, kol oisan hashloishim u'shmoina shana, throughout those 38 years, remaining years, when the Jews were in the desert, lo nisyached hadibur elav b'loshen chiba, the divine presence of Hashem did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu in a form of love, an expression of love, ad asher tamu kol oisei hador, until all the people of that generation that had worshipped the golden calf had passed away. V'oz kosav, and only then was Moshe Rabbeinu able to write, Vayedaber Eli Lemor, Hashem spoke to me. Eli hoyu hadibor, the words were said personally to me. Aval kol oisam shanim, whereas the Medrash says, and Rashi HaKodesh points it out, whereas all the previous years, it was not directed to Moshe Rabbeinu. K'mo shepirush Rashi shown, as Rashi HaKodesh points out in the first pasuk in Chumash Vayikra. Ki Moshe zocho lesaken zois, because Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in correcting the problem. Ki Moshe afal pi shehoyah bebechina shtika afal pi kein hoyah kol mishnehem. Because despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had this attribute of silence, he also had the knowledge, the level of knowledge, mebechinas hadas shetzrichen lohoyer beben. The high level knowledge, which has to be given over to the people on a higher level, who are compared to the son, S-O-N here, and the lower level knowledge, which has to be given over to the student. And Moshe Rabbeinu was privileged to give over his knowledge to both, the ben, the Talmud, to children, his children and students. Shezehu bechinas bnoi Eliezer v'talmido Yehoshua. This is the concept where we find that Moshe Rabbeinu had a son Eliezer and a student Yehoshua. Sha'aliyotoi mosar kol haTorah liYisrael, and it's through his student Yehoshua that Moshe Rabbeinu passed on the Torah to the entire Jewish nation. K'mo shamru, as our rabbis tell us in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah on Mount Sinai and gave it over to Yehoshua. Le-Yehoshua Daika. Note, he gave it to Yehoshua specifically, Shehu Hasogas HaTalmid, which Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likutey Maran, chapter 7, in the second half of Likutey Maran, that Yehoshua represents the level of knowledge of the student, which is considered to be a lower level than the level of the son of the tzaddik. Because we mentioned, Rabbeinu Zal explains there, the son comes from the actual brain of the father, the parent of the father, the seed from which the child is produced is actually from the brain of the father. So he has more, in a sense, he has an advantage, in a sense, of an opportunity to be on a higher level than an ordinary student. Kizeh Iker Shleimus HaTzadik. Because as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutey Maran, this is really what defines perfection in a tzaddik, which is Afal Pi Shehu Lamala Lamala, that despite the fact that the tzaddik is on a very, very high level, Afal Pi Kein Yamshich He'orosoi Gam Lamato Lamato. He continues to draw his light, his knowledge, all the way down to the people who are furthest away from Hashem. And even when the tzaddik passes away and he leaves the world and goes still higher, he leaves behind the Yashir He'orosoi Gam Bo'olam Hazeh Achar Hestalkusoi. He leaves behind his light, his knowledge, his wisdom in this world, even after his passing away, through his children and students. V'ikar Hamshochas Hadas Hu'alidei HaTalmid. And the main one who's involved in that continuity, in continuing the knowledge of the parent, the rabbi, is the student. Ki einon yicholel lekabel hasogas hatzadik shubchinas Moshe ki emal yodoi. Because we, the general public, are not capable of understanding and receiving that high level of knowledge of the tzaddik other than via his student. We can only receive it through him, bechinas, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah on Har Sinai, umesoro liYehoshua, and gave it over, turned it over to Yehoshua, liYehoshua daika. Note, it makes it perfectly clear that it was specifically to Yehoshua, shehu bechinas Talmid, who is the student. Paragraph Yudalid, v'zehu ma'asham, and this is what the Gemara says in Chulin, page 89, al posuk ha'umnom elam. Elam means to be silent. And the Gemara says there, ma ya'aseh odom bo'olam hazeh, what should a person try to do in this world? Ya'aseh atzmoi ke'ilein. The person should make himself like a person who is mute. Talk little, minimize your speech. So the Gemara says, Yochel af b'divrei Torah, I might think that this applies even to speaking words of Torah. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk continues, no, tzedek tedaberun. When it comes to words of Torah, tzedek, righteousness, speak. The Gemara continues, Yochel af im hegis daitoi, I might think that even if the person feels arrogant and proud that he's so learned and so knowledgeable and he's able to teach people, so I might think he still has the right to speak. Talmud Loimar, Meishorim Tishbetu B'nei Odom. The Pasuk continues with a warning that a person who's teaching should be like a Misha, like flat ground, shouldn't be arrogant. Hainu Kanal. This fits in beautifully with what we've been learning throughout this chapter. Ki ikar hatikun alidei hashtika, because one of the most important components of accomplishing is knowing when to be silent. Shezehu bechinas levishas menolim. This is the concept of putting on shoes on our feet. Kidei linoil velizgur horegel, in order to close and enclose the foot. Shehu bechinas dibur. The foot represents speech. There's a pasuk in Tilim, Lo yrogal al shaynoi. He didn't speak with his tongue what he shouldn't have. As Rabbi Nizal mentions that, points out the connection between the feet and speech in chapters 38 and 80. Sheloi ledaber mashen tzrichin. To make sure not to speak about what a person shouldn't be speaking about. Ki kol hadvorim yegeim lo yuchal ish ledaber. As the pasuk says in Koheles, there are many things that a person cannot speak about. Ki hadibur hu hadas, because a person's speech is an expression of the intellect in their mind. Utzrichin l'shomroi moed, and a person has to be very careful when they're revealing their das, to know who to talk to, whom not to speak to, when to speak, how much to say, how much not to say. V'zehu, and this is what the Gemara means there, when the Gemara says, Yochel af b'divrei Torah, I might think that this applies also to speaking words of Torah. Talmud Loimar, tzedek tedaberun. Ki kol diburei Torah bevadei tzrichen ledaber, kol echodim chaver tamidot. Because all types of divrei Torah, a person should be speaking with their friends and with their students. Ki zehu ikar he'oras ben v'talmid. This is the whole concept of giving over one's light to their children, to their students. Shehu he'oras hadas, which is a revelation of das, knowledge, shehi ha'torah. V'zehu, and this is why the Gemara continues there to say, yochel afilu im heges daitoi, I might think that this applies even if a person is arrogant. Dahainu shemekis dait eviyotze chutz mimadregosech hashon. A person who is arrogant means they're behaving bigger than what they really are. A person who's going out of their above their level. Umar bedvorim yoyser midai, speaking too much. The person is revealing what they shouldn't be revealing. That's this concept of arrogance, talking too much. Talmud Loimar, Meishorim Tishbetu B'nei Yodon. Ki tzrichin lishkol devorov b'mishpat. A person has to weigh their words and measure their words with judgment. Sheloi legaloi safilu b'divrei Torah v'horas hadas, mashen tzrichin legalois. So that even when it comes to Torah and holy knowledge, a person should be careful not to reveal what they're not supposed to reveal. Shezeo b'chinas, this is what the Gemara means when it says, siog lachoch moshtika, that a fence around one's knowledge is silence. Va'oz kishezoicha l'shtika, and then when a person is zoicha to that holy silence, Shezel Bechinas Keser, that's compared to the highest level of holiness called the crown, Oz Huyochoi Lohoyer Beben V'talmid. Then that person is qualified to teach and to shine their knowledge into students and children. To give each one the knowledge that they can handle based on their level. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran, to be able to deliver a message to those people who are very advanced and on a high level, to be able to show them that they're still very far from Hashem. They're still, Hashem is infinite, and they have a long way to go. Bechinas Aye, like the angels say, where is Hashem? Ulehepech lahatalmid, and on the opposite end of the spectrum, to the student, who are the people who are on a lower level, bechinas to them, the rabbi has to deliver a message that Hashem is everywhere, no matter how far away you are, no matter how low you are, Hashem is right there with you. Kanal b'maimaranal, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this over there in chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Bechinas, this is what the what the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, having mesunim badin, be slow and careful in your judgment. Think very, very carefully to judge properly each person, what to say to them, what not to say to them. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 75, ki Elohim shofet, zeh yashpil v'zeh yorim. Hashem judges, this one he lowers and this one he lifts up. That's this concept of holy mishpat that a tzaddik, a rabbi, has to know that those who are advanced, sometimes you have different students and you get a student who gets a 98 on a test. And you know that this student is very, very bright, very smart. The fact that he got a 98 means he didn't study for the test. Because if he would have studied, he would have gotten 100 plus. So to that student, the teacher has to be able to say, it's a good mark, but you and I know that you didn't really study, right? You and I know that had you studied, there's no chance in the world you wouldn't have gotten 100. And to the student who gets a 60 or a 40, because this is the first time they took a test, and the person has all kinds of weaknesses, etc., to be able to tell that student, wow, I can see that you're trying, you really tried. I know, I'm sure on the next test you're going to do even better. And I'm really proud of you. I'm proud that you were willing to take the test and that you did so well. And this is what the Gemara is telling us there when the Gemara says that a person who's going to be speaking words of Torah shouldn't be arrogant. He shouldn't reveal too much. He wants to show how much he knows. He wants to share all of his knowledge. He's got to be careful to know, is he allowed to or not? And to be quiet when it's appropriate to be quiet. And we learn that from the words in the pasuk, Meishorim tishpetu bnei Adam. Ki he'oras ben v'talmid, because this concept of giving over one's knowledge to these two levels, to the Bein and to the Talmid, hu bechinas ki Elokim shofet. This is like the pasuk we quoted earlier, where Hashem judges whom to lower and whom to elevate. Bechinas meishorim tishpetu. The pasuk uses that same term, judge properly. Ki yefshelohayer hadas beben v'talmid lamdom das v'toras Hashem kiim kishezoichel bechina shtika, because it's impossible for a person to be teaching Torah properly to all the different levels, the people who are very advanced and the people who are on a low level, unless the person is zoicha to that silence, that shtika, shehu bechinas keser kayadua, which is known as the level of keser, the crown, the highest level. Remember, we mentioned that chokhmah, which is below keser, chokhmah is represented by the vowel pasach, which means open up. That level of chachma, there we're allowed to open up and speak. Keser represents the makifin, that level of knowledge that's so high that a person is not allowed to speak about it. And there it requires silence. Therefore, the keser is represented by the vowel kamatz. Kamatz means closed. Shehu bechinas hamakifen ho'elyoinen. This silence, this keser, represents the highest level of makifen. Again, makif means that knowledge that a person doesn't yet have inside their brain. It's like a halo around their head. Bechinas arichus yomim vishonim. It's that level of knowledge which is referred to as many years, many years. It would take many years to explain that knowledge. Bechinas reishis hageez shenitan lekoyen, and it's related to that first shearing of wool from the sheep, which we give to the kohen, kimavor sham, as is explained, as Rabbeinu Zal explains there in Likutei Moharan, shedaiko ze hachacham shezoicha l'shefa hakeser, that it's specifically a very, very high level chacham who is zoicha to that keser, the crown, those deepest secrets of Torah, the highest level, she'hem makifin hu elyonim, she'hem bechina shtika, that's the highest level makifin, that's the place of silence, u'daiko yochol lohoyer beben v'talmid. He is the one who is qualified to teach both levels, the ben, the high people who are very advanced, and the talmid, the people who are distant. Shehu bechinas ki Elohim shofet, as the pasuk says about Hashem, that Hashem judges, bechinas meishorim tishbetu, and as the pasuk says about one who's going to be speaking words of Torah, he's got to have that judgment, that good judgment. Question in the chat: so can we say that the ability that Rabbeinu Zal is speaking about in that chapter of Likutei Moharan to be able to relate to both? To those who are above and below is not in fact so unique because every good cheder Rebbe must have it. They must have it. They don't necessarily, this is, we are talking about a high level, a very high level. It's not so simple. But however, as usual, whatever Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in Likutei Moharan, even when he's speaking about the great tzaddikim, it applies to each and every person on their level. So here he's speaking about the rabbi of the entire Jewish nation, Moshe Rabbeinu, but it applies on a much lower level to each and every person who's going to be speaking words of Torah. Has to be able to think carefully who he's talking to and when he's speaking. Is it the right thing to say or the wrong thing to say? Sometimes a person says something, the halakha is this, and you're supposed to do this and this. And by saying it to a person who can't hear that at that point in time, the person is committing a sin. That's not the mitzvah of teaching Torah, they're committing a sin. Because the Gemara says in certain instances, better that the person should be a shoygeg than a mezid. Better that the person shouldn't know that what they're doing is wrong than telling them that it's wrong when you know that they're not going to change right now. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to keep doing it. And now it's going to be considered that they're doing it deliberately. It's going to be a worse sin. That's just one example of this. Now, Rav Nosson Zal continues, V'chein merumos b'soif divrei Rabbeinu Zal sham. And Rabbeinu Zal alludes to this there at the end of that chapter on Likutei Moharan, chapter 7, Shehakol Toluy Bi'anova. Rabbeinu Zal says there that everything we've been speaking about throughout that whole chapter on Likutei Moharan is dependent on humility. Ki anova gedoyla mikulam, because the Gemara says in the beginning in Avodah Zarah, page 20, that the highest level quality that a person could achieve is humility. Because humility is that ability to be silent, that level of keser, those high level makifen. And And this is why our rabbis learned out this fact that it's forbidden to be arrogant, even when it comes to speaking words of Torah, Shehu Hamedaber Yoser Midai, which refers to a person who's talking too much, Umegala Mashen Tzricha Megalas Chas Hashem, and revealing what they shouldn't be revealing, Shezeu Bechinas Gasus Ruach. That's a display of arrogance. Hepachanova, the opposite of humility, shehi bechina shtika, which is silence. V'lomdu zois mi pasuk meishorim tishpatu b'nei adam. And the rabbis over there in Masechta Chulin learned it out from this pasuk, meishorim tishpatu b'nei adam. Ki yefsher lishpoit b'mishor. Because it's impossible for a person to judge properly, meaning to judge each and every person what they need, what do they need to hear at this point in time. This is the concept of knowing what to say to the student and what to say to the son. Like Hashem, who judges whom to elevate and whom to lower, kiyum al yedei anova. A person will not be able to accomplish that unless the person has humility, shehi bechina shtika, which goes together with silence, the ability to be quiet, bechina siyog lachochma shtika. As the pasuk says, the Gemara says, a fence around chochma, a protection for the chochma, is silence. V'alkein nikroim hachachomim v'chacham choroshim unevoin lochash b'Yeshaya Gimel. Rav Nosson Zal says, now you'll understand a very interesting thing. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 3 where it refers to chacham choroshim, the wise person of silence, v'nova unevoin lochash, and the person who understands when to be quiet. V'chein b'Yirmiyah, and so too in Yirmiyah Novi, chapter 29, Nekroim, the wise people, the Chachamim, are called Hechorosh v'Hamazger, Shehem Chachmei Yisrael. It's referring over to the leading rabbis of the Jewish nation, Ki Iker Chochmosam Hagdoila Hu Al Yidei HaShtika Kanal, because the real greatness of their knowledge and wisdom is expressed in their ability to be silent when they're supposed to be. Vezehu bechinas hachareish va'alefcha chachma. And this is also what's meant by the pasuk in Iyov, chapter 33, pasuk 33. Be silent, and I will teach you knowledge. There are many times that students are with the rabbi. We know the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, v'loy habayshan lamed, that a person who is too shy will not be able to learn. They'll be afraid to ask questions. And one of the important ways that a person learns is by asking questions. That's a very important point. And at the same time, it's important to know when to be quiet. That before, when somebody starts learning about a subject, they're starting to learn, and they hear something they don't understand, and they start asking questions, sometimes that disrupts the whole situation. That'll prevent the person from learning properly. First, listen. First, listen for a period of time. Listen to get the whole picture. Once you've gotten the whole picture, once you've heard an entire lesson, then you can ask questions. I remember my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, when I first met him when I was a teenager, he gave a shiur 45 minutes, and the shiur was recorded. No questions. After the shiur was complete, then he invited people to ask questions. And some of the questions were very good questions. And some of the answers to the questions were even better than what was mentioned during the shiur. But it's important to know there's a time, like the pasuk says in Qehelet, Eis lachshos, there's a time to be quiet and listen, and there's a time to speak. Now, Rav Nosson Zal takes us into another topic, a completely different topic, which he's going to relate and connect beautifully to what we've been learning till now and to this chapter on Likutey Moran that this halacha was based on, chapter 7 in the second half of Likutey Moran. Paragraph Tesvov, Vizeh Bechinas Chalitza. And based on what we've been learning here, will understand the mitzvah of chalitza, that when they're a brother, when a person is married and he passes away without having had any children, and he has a brother, the brother has a requirement to marry the widow of his brother in order to produce a child from her who will carry on the name of her first husband, who died without having had a child. If that second brother refused, that's called yibum. If that brother, the second brother, the living brother, refuses to do this, then he has to perform a different mitzvah called chalitza, which Rav Nosson Zal is going to speak about now, which requires the removing of a shoe, and the woman has to spit in front of him. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki ze haniftar beloy bonim chas v'shalom, kogam bebechina saor as ben v'talmud anal. Because a person who dies without having had any children, that person is lacking in this important mitzvah of giving over one's knowledge to their children and students. Ki ben v'talmid hu ha-chalifus shetzrichin la-hashir achrov brocha. Because a child and a student is the replacement for a person, for a parent. When the parent's going to pass away, that's what's going to replace them in this world to leave behind a blessing in the world. Sheishar mimenu bonim v'talmidim agunim, that the person should leave behind children and students who are religious, kedei sheyamshichu hadas hakodesh bo'olam gam achar histalkusoi, so that they will continue to believe in Hashem and to teach their children about Hashem, so that the das which the parent gave to their child will now be passed on to the next generation. Kimavur heite b'maimra now, as Rabbeinu Zal explains this very thoroughly in the beginning of that chapter of Likutei Moran. V'zeh hanifter b'loy bonim, and this person who died without having had any children, lo yizochol lahashir sheres boretz, was not privileged to leave behind something remaining after them in the world. Upogam bebechinas hadas shehu haras ben v'talmid, and therefore there's something lacking in their das, in the perfection of their das, which is the ability, having given over their das to a son or a student. Ve'ikar hapigam nimshach mipigam hashtika. And when we speak about a pigam in das, something lacking in das, very often it's because of something that was lacking in that silence. Shehu ikar hatikun, which is the main tikun, asher al yedei ze lo yizocho la posha bialma. And as a result of that, as a result of something that was lacking in the silence, this person was not did not succeed in perpetuating mankind. Because when a person doesn't make an effort to leave behind their knowledge in their children and students, that means that that person, what they want is that when they leave the world, it should be a complete break. The person wants to go up to heaven, to Olam Haba, and not leave behind any part of themselves. This is an example of too much light. A person only wants to be above, they don't want to be below. Meaning that this person doesn't constrict the light properly in order that it should be able to be passed down the ladder to the next generation. Shezehu iker kiyum, and that's what the existence of the world is really all about. Shezehu b'chinas, as the pasuk says in the Navi Yeshaya, chapter 45, loy toihu broho lo sheves yotzra. Hashem did not create the world in order for it to remain in darkness, emptiness. He created it in order for it to become settled, civilized. Civilized means with human beings. Human being means a person who believes in Hashem, person who believes in Hashem, and a person who serves Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says there in the Kutimran, a person who's in a human body and doesn't believe in Hashem and has no awareness of Hashem at all, that's not Adam. That's not a human being. That's an animal in the form of a human being, in the shape of a human being. Shekol echad lefi bechinasoi, tzorech lehishtadel lasois kelim sheyekablu or hadas. Because each and every single one of us is required to try very hard to create vessels which will receive that light of das. That the world will be filled with human beings. This is what Hashem meant when Hashem said to Adam and Chava, Umilu es ha'aretz, fill up the world with human beings, with civilized people, people who are aware of the Creator. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likud Imran, Shezeu bechinas bonim v'talmidim. This is the concept of a person producing children and students, shetzrichen lahashir achrav, which a person has to leave behind after them. Shezehu iker shleimus haneshama. That's the real perfection of a person's soul. Ki ein shleimus haneshama, afilu im hu tzadik godol ma'oid ma'oid, v'zeicher lawis lamala. Because the soul is not complete. Even if the person is a very, very big tzaddik, and the person is zeicher to go up to very, very high levels, kiyem kishenishar daitoy gam lamata. If the person did not leave behind their knowledge, their imprint, down below, down here on earth, alidei bonim v'talmidim, in their children, in their students, people whom they spoke to about Hashem. Kamashim avor sham, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likud Imran. Vezeh shaloi, and this person who did not achieve this, he died without having any children, nimtzo shaloi, and if they did it intentionally, nimtzo shaloi tzel. So this person wants that when they die, they just want to go up. And leave nothing down below here. Shezehu bechinas ribyor chasvishon. This is what's referred to as too much light. Meachar she'ein loy kelim lekabel, because the person doesn't have vessels into which to receive the light. Ki kol hakelim nas al yedei hashtika. Shehu bechinas tzimtzumar, because one of the main components in creating these vessels is silence, which is a form of constricting the light. Shalidezer oisim kelim. That's how a person generates these vessels. Bonim, the talmidim, children and students, lekabel oir hadas v'hadrogam amido, who will receive the person's knowledge in a careful, measured way. And therefore, this person who died without bringing any children into the world, Hashem is dealing with that person in the same way that that person dealt. Because this person did not increase the presence of human beings in the world, lahashir sheretz ba'aretz, to leave behind something in the world when he leaves, v'sovar sheyistalek rak lamala, and this person is thinking that it's not necessary. As long as I do good things and I go up, al kein onshoy she'ein yochol la'avos klal. The punishment is that the person cannot go up. They cannot really go up. As the Zohar HaKadosh says in Mishpatim, that a person who dies without bringing any children into the world, their soul is not privileged to enter the curtain of the king. I'm not sure if the word pargoida means curtain or something else. We'll check it, Mitzvah Shem. Ki yefsher lalo, because it's impossible for a soul to be able to really go up to those very high places in heaven unless they left something behind in this world. And therefore, this person needs to be repaired through their brother, Shemeyati Mishle, who will perform Yibum with the widow. And when that's performed, when Yibum is performed, the soul of the brother who passed away becomes shrunken in a bigger way. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ki itse ime, his wife becomes his mother. An example, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven is married to Rachel. Reuven dies. Shimon agrees to perform Yibum with Rachel. Shimon agrees to marry Rachel in order to create a name for Reuven, who died without leaving behind a name. The child now, the Zohar HaKadosh reveals that when Shimon and Rachel have that child is Reuven. That child is Reuven's neshama coming down again to be completed, which means that now Rachel, who was previously Reuven's wife, has now become Reuven's mother. And the Zohar HaKadosh says it's an interesting problem because who can he marry? The child that results from a Yibam, who can he marry? Rabbeinu Zal has a fantastic discussion on this in chapter 21 in Likutei Moran, in the middle of that chapter. Nimtza, so we conclude, sheyoyreid v'nistzamtzem beyoyser gadol moy. This soul of Reuven, which is coming back now, being reincarnated in the child that's going to be born from Shimon and Rachel, that soul now has been shrunken in a big way. V'zehu ikar tikunai va'al yusai. And this is the tikkun for his soul, and this is what will help his soul rise up. Ki ikar tikunai al yidei tzimtzum ha'or. Because the main solution for Reuven's soul is that constriction of the light, that shrinking of the light. Nemtza, we conclude therefore, she'ochiv hayavam mesakei nishmas hameis, Reuven's brother Shimon, who is the Yavam, he repairs the soul of his brother who died, umekayim shemoy al nachalosoi, and he establishes Reuven's name over all of Reuven's possessions. Remember, Reuven died and left behind a widow and no children, so all of the possessions are in the presence of the, are in that widow's possession. Now, if Shimon and Rachel have a child, that child will inherit, and will there'll be a continuity to Reuven. Umamshich hasharosei lamato, and through this Yibum process, the soul of Reuven is being drawn down into this world again to continue its tikkun. V'halkein, and therefore, im ein lichofetz liyabein, if Shimon refuses to go through with this. And therefore cannot draw that high-level knowledge of the son and the student, draw it down, hatikun, which would be the accomplishment which would be achieved through the process of Yibun. Alkein, therefore, the Torah says, what do we do? The cholza na'aloi me'al ragloi. She, the widow, removes the shoe from Shimon's foot. V'amar Rabbi Seinuzal, and the Medrash says, Nialko Toruveni, the ovel, the temenuda, in order that she's making Shimon into a mourner, a person who's been excommunicated. When a person is in mourning, they're not allowed to wear leather shoes. When a person is excommunicated, they have to take off their shoes. Because of the fact that the living brother Shimon, doesn't have the das, the wisdom, to want to repair his brother's soul, to draw down Reuven's soul into the world, to draw down that das, that light of Ben V'Talmid, Al Kain Ein Loi Min Olin. Therefore, Shimon doesn't have shoes. Ki Iker HaMinolim Nas Nalidei Hashtika, because as we explained in the previous shiur, the whole concept of shoes, which enclose the foot, it's like a fence around the foot, like the crown, which is a fence around the head. So the shoes are accomplished through that silence, HaMetzamtzemes U'Mesakenes HaSadibor V'Das, which constricts and perfects one's knowledge. Whereas a person whose das has left them completely, like when a person is in mourning, when they're mourning one of their close relatives, or when a person has been put in cherem, excommunicated, chasashon, chayiv b'chalitzis min olam, that person is required to remove their shoes, as we explained in the previous shiur. As a result of Rachel, Reuven's widow, as a result of her taking off Shimon's shoe, the Zohar HaKadosh explains, Reuven's soul becomes cloaked in that shoe, because the Reuven's soul was attached to the feet of Shimon, Kemoshe Issa beZohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this in Parshas Ki Tsetse, which is the main place where this mitzvah of Yibum is discussed. Ki Iker Tikkun HaMeis Al Yedei Tzimtzum Hora, because as we've been mentioning the whole time, the main tikkun for the person who passes away is that constriction of the light. That constriction of the light, which he passed on to his children, to his students, and now the fact that Reuven died without having any children, this means we have to constrict his light even more so. That's the concept of the shoe, shehu tachlis hatzimtzum, which is the ultimate constriction of light. Kihu levush of, a shoe is made out of leather. A shoe is thick. It's like the exact opposite of light, of something spiritual, something heavenly. It's the most physical, materialistic thing in a sense. Levush haraglin, it's the garment for the lowest part of the body, the feet. Vishoroshoi nimshach misoid hashtiko helyoina. However, this lowest level, the shoe, is rooted in the keser, in the highest level, in that silence. V'alkein tikunoi al yidei minal shel chalitza. And therefore, the tikkun for this for Reuven is through this shoe that's used in the process of chalitza. V'alkein hayovam yoyreish nachla soviv. And this is why the Torah tells us that a person who performs this mitzvah of Yibum inherits the inheritance of the father. The main tikkun of Yibum is in order to establish a name on the inheritance. Al nachlosoi daiko. Ki hanachlo hi ho ashirus va parnasalodom, because the term nachlo refers to the wealth and parnas of a person. Umi shezeicha lihiyos ish chayil, and Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutey Moran, a person who is strong in doing what needs to be done, al yedei klolius ben v'talmid, by being able to bring together those two levels of knowledge, the level of the ben and the talmid. That person is able to receive the highest level light, which is called He'oras HaRotzayim, in their Parnasa, specifically. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, V'ato noisein lohem es ochlam be'itoi. You, Hashem, provide for all of their needs at the right time. Be'itoi. Be'itoi means at the right time. And over there in Likut Imran, Rabbein Zal connects the be'itoi to another pasuk where it says, Ko'es ye omar le'yakov ma po'al kel. There's going to come a time like the time Ace, that Itoi, when the angels are going to be saying to the Jewish people, what is Hashem doing? Meaning that the Jews are going to go above the angels to that highest level that's called He'oras HaRatzon. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there in Likud Imran that this He'oras HaRatzon, a person receives during eating, when they're eating, or when they're earning a livelihood in their parnasa. And therefore, it's the Yavam who has to make a tikkun for all of those possessions, Sheshom He'oras HaRatzon, where this great light, this He'oras HaRatzon, is found, Shehu Bechina Shtika, which is this concept, this high level light, is referred to as the silence, Shehu Iker He'oras HaBen V'Talmid, which is that light which can be given over to the son and the student, Shezehu Iker Tikkun HaYibum. And this is the main tikkun. This is what Yibum is really all about trying to accomplish. So again, it's the Yavam who inherits the possessions of the brother who passed away, the father of that child that's going to be born. Any questions, please, before we close? Wishing everyone a wonderful day. We should be zecha to have children and to have students to be able to share our knowledge with those who are willing to listen and to be able to do it correctly, not to say anything to anybody that shouldn't be said or at the wrong time, the wrong way. Question in the chat, is earning one's livelihood as good a time for receiving das as eating, or are there too many distractions? The answer is that Rabbeinu Zal, over there in chapter 7 of Likut Imran, which this halacha is based on, where he speaks about this, he uses both terms, eating and earning a livelihood, both. So both of these, if it's being done properly, if a person's eating like a mensch, a person's eating kosher, a person's eating the right amount and healthy, and eating when they're supposed to, what they're supposed to, or a person who's going about earning a livelihood with the right intentions, that all my work is to enable me to be able to give tzedakah, to be able to give charity, to be able to use the money to perform mitzvahs, all kinds of good deeds for me, my family, and again, especially the tzedakah that I'm going to give. These are all forms of achila dekdusha, holy eating, and holy parnasa, during which a person can receive this He'oras HaRatzon. Good day. We should be zecher to the Geula Shleima, the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Meher V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu. Question, what's the relationship between silence and especially around women? The Gemara tells us that 10 measures of speech came down to the world. 9 were given to women and 1 to men. That's what was given. We don't know what they took. They might have taken 9.5 or 9.75. The answer is the Torah teaches us that women generally speak more than men. However, everybody needs to know that speech, that the tongue is the most powerful weapon that we have for good and for bad. Hachayim v'hamoves b'yad haloshen. Life and death are in the tongue. And person needs to think carefully. The Rambam writes that a person should place something over in their mind 4 times before they shoot it out of their mouth. Should be zeichet to think properly and to speak properly. Baruch Hashem.